Mark your calendar for tomorrow night. It's a big deal. Head to the Gerald R. Ford Presidential Museum, and you'll be witnessing an interactive webcast along with an in-person China specialist joining communities across the United States in the national conversation on China. Let's talk with that on-site discussion, Kaiser Quo on China and technology. Kaiser, good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
Yeah, good that you are here. Co-founder Seneca Podcast and a very extensive resume you do have. You are, again, also editor-at-large. Is it supchina.com?
Yeah, it's supchina. That's correct.
And Seneca Podcast, which is the most popular English-language podcast on current affairs in China, and lots of awards on your list. You speak frequently, certainly, on topics related to politics and living. I used to live down in the North Carolina area, Chapel Hill, with good things that you're doing. But you're doing good stuff here tomorrow night, where before coming back, I know, to the U.S. in 2016, what, you spent 20 years in China working in the tech sector? So as we look at coming full circle to talk about what you'll talk about tomorrow, I'll talk about the work you did there and what you're currently up to now, if you would, guys.
Sure. Not all 20 years was spent in the tech sector. Actually, just really maybe the last 7 years while I was there. I spent 6 of those 7 as the director of international communications for a very big Chinese internet company called Baidu, which, you know, some people sort of shorthand as the Google of China. It was China's big search engine. Prior to that, I was a reporter working mainly in technology. And the first few years that I was in China from 96 to 99, I spent actually as a rock musician.
Wow. Cool. What'd you play?
I played guitar. I played in a band that I had actually helped found in the late 80s. When I was in China for a year briefly as a student, they went on to some success in my absence, and they asked me to come back to the band in 1996.
Wow, cool. Well, again, seeing you tomorrow night, you along with the interactive webcast with Secretary Condoleezza Rice to kick it off at 6 p.m. So before we get into what, again, you'll be sharing with us, Kaiser, how is China's relationship with technology then different than the U.S.?
I think it's a great question. I think, you know, it does have a markedly different relationship. And that's mainly because if you look at how China's economy has developed, has grown so rapidly, you know, with a decade or more of over 10% GDP growth, it's happened really in very tight lockstep with technological advance. So they don't regard in China, most people don't regard technology with the same sort of suspicion that you often find here. In the U.S., I think most conversations that I have with other parents are about limiting children on their screen time. You don't have that conversation in China because the parents are also too busy on their own screens. There is a kind of unembarrassed embrace of technology and this belief that technology will really, you know, sort of bring about generally a betterment of society, and yeah, it's a very different, approach to it.
Yes.
Very much less suspicion about it. You don't have conversations about artificial intelligence and advanced robotics that are, you know, sort of dystopian and scared. Instead, I think there's this sort of blithe kind of acceptance that it's just going to improve lives. Not even a lot of discussion about the jobs that it's going to eat.
Oh. Kaiser, how has China changed in the last couple of decades?
Well, I mean, how hasn't it? It's just been an astonishing thing to witness. It's just been great to have a front row seat to it, but it's really hard to fathom. It's hard for, I think, anybody who's been, you know, living in a country like the U.S. where the pace of change has been a little slower to see. I mean, when I first went to China in the early 1980s, I mean, it was really still very much the China of the imagination of back then, you know, the seas of bicycles in the streets and people all sort of dressed quite uniformly. No high buildings, none of the remarkable infrastructure that you now see. But I think for all the hardware changes that we've seen, they're really, we haven't seen the kind of software changes that we might imagine would be commensurate with that. So it'll throw you if you see it. It's hard to even attempt an encapsulation of the level of change that you've seen.
Commonalities, maybe one commonality, one difference between the two countries that we may not realize today from your expertise, Kaiser?
People don't really recognize how similar the two countries actually are in so many ways. I think that in a lot of very good ways, they're similar. That is, you're reserved with people who have an essentially meritocratic belief that people will get ahead, whether it's true or not, just through their own application of hard work. There's this sort of a deeply seated work ethic in both countries. I think that's very, very similar. In bad ways too. I think that both of them have a real exceptionalism, a real notion of themselves as very exceptional, which is potentially dangerous for the relationship between the two. But it's also a way I think we can understand one another. And then I'd say, these are both two countries that have, that are continental-sized economies that believe somewhere inside them that they're self-sufficient, that they don't really need anyone else. And it's okay to go through life speaking really only one language and not being terribly aware of the rest of the world. Again, I think these are dangerous attributes.
Mark your calendar. Again, make your reservation for tomorrow night, an event at the Gerald R. Ford Presidential Museum. I will give all the details after we say our goodbye. Public inviting, free parking. Actually, no RFVPs necessary, so that's cool. I would get there early. Speaking with Kaiser Kuo on China and technology, one of the presenters post the podcast, actually post the interactive webcast with the Honorable Condoleezza Rice. Kaiser, let's turn it back to you. You are speaking as part of the China Town Hall, this national conversation on China. What will you focus on?
I'll be talking about the current relationship between the United States and China. As some of you might have heard the other day, Vice President Mike Pence made a very dark speech at a conservative think tank called the Hudson Institute, where he really sort of laid out this, a broad indictment of China and really ramped up the relationship away from, sort of anything cooperative, really placed competition front and center. I'm going to be talking about what I think are some of the real fundamental roots of the anxieties right now that beset the relationship on the U.S. side. And I think a lot of that rests in how we regard China's sudden surge in technology prowess. So I'll be talking about technology as it relates to that relationship.
Well, seeing you again tomorrow night, tell me about Seneca Podcast.
Sure. Seneca is something we started with my partner and I. His name is Jeremy Goldcorn. The two of us both been living in Beijing for a very long time. And in the spring of 2010, we were just having one of those conversations one has, what podcasts do you listen to? And we both realized that there really wasn't anything good on current affairs in China. And since we were both working in media, we'd both been in media for a very long time, we knew a lot of the reporters, we knew a lot of subject area experts on China, whether academics or people in think tanks or diplomats or what have you. And we thought, the two of us would be perfectly positioned to start such a podcast. So we did. We resuscitated the name Seneca, which we, we came up with another business idea a few years previously, but had dropped it quickly, but the name stuck around. And we started doing it just weekly for fun in early 2016, we were acquired by a company, SubChina, around Jeremy had already moved to the States. I was planning to move to the States. This allowed me then to sort of quit my day job, as it were, and to do this full time. So it's gone on to you know, big things. We've had a lot of quite prominent guests, including very recently I just interviewed Kevin Rudd for an hour, the former Prime Minister of Australia. We've had people like Kurt Campbell, who was the former Assistant Secretary of State for East Asia Pacific, Susan Thornton, who was in that same role acting until very recently. We've had, you know, prominent diplomats, many academics, some politicians, and many, many journalists focusing on China.
Nice. All right. How do we find out more information about you in preparation for tomorrow night, Kaiser?
Well, listen to the podcast. I think that's the best way. So it's a Seneca podcast. You can just type in Seneca in your podcast app and find it, or go to SupChina, SupChina.com. Where, you know, we really do offer a real feast of business and political and cultural news on China, very unbiased and uncensored reporting all about China.
All right. Now, let's see. Google the band Tang Dynasty. Still in operation, do you think?
They are. I think they're cool. Not really. I haven't had much to do with them. I joined another band shortly after leaving Tang Dynasty. In 99, I started a band in 2001 that didn't enjoy quite the fame, but it was called Spring and Autumn.
Cool. All right. I'll give all the details again for sure. WorldMichigan.org for information on the happenings of the World Affairs Council of Western Michigan. Thank you, Kaiser. Take care.